The scripture for our speaker, it will be Matthew chapter 8, verses 24 and 27. Matthew chapter 8, verses 24 and 27, and I'll read in your hearing. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. But the men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Our speaker this morning will be Elder Joseph Kamau.
To God be the glory for great things he has done. Good morning, my dear brother, my dear sister. Thank you so much for joining us today and allowing us to be able to minister to you this morning. We continue to pray that the good Lord will keep you safe, keep protecting you and your family and your friends, and that he will hide you and cover you under his feathers every day, every single day that you live in this world. Special thanks to Elder Paul Williams for announcements and reading the scripture for us today. And our reading was taken from the book of Matthew and chapter 8. We read from verse 24 and we did verse 27 as well. But I'd like for us to read from verse 23 through 27. But before we do that, please, let's say a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your blessings. Thank you so much for being with us each and every single day, Father. We pray as we worship you today, here and all over the world, that you will be with us, Father. Take care of your people. Keep us safe, Father. Guide us. Remind us, Father, that you are still in control. Father, fill us with your Holy Spirit. And as we listen to your word, Father, speak to us. Open our hearts and let us receive you, Father. It's our humble prayer through the Holy Spirit in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And for his sake, Father, we pray and give thanks. Amen. So this is a familiar passage to all of us. It's a story of Jesus calming the sea. And if you have already Matthew chapter 8 from verse 23 to 27, please read with me. I have the King James Version of the Bible. And so the Bible says, "And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, 'Lord, save us, we perish.' And he saith unto them, 'Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?' Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, 'What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?'" See, it had been an eventful day for Jesus. Besides the Sea of Galilee, he had spoken his first parables using familiar illustrations and explaining the nature of his kingdom and how his kingdom was going to be established. He had likened his own work like that work of a sower. And so all day Jesus had been teaching and healing. The crowd was still, pressing upon him because they were still eager to hear him and listen to him. But the Pharisees, as they would do with their malicious criticism and misrepresentation, he never made Jesus' work easier. So Jesus sought to seek rest. He was man. I'm sure when we get tired too, sometimes we try to seek rest, and in the best way we know how. So Jesus was hungry and was tired. So he wanted to go to a place where he could seek retirement. And so the eastern shore of a place called Gennesaret provided this wonderful place where Jesus could take rest. And so he bade his disciples to go with him. But because the crowds were still pressing upon him and they still wanted to hear, and they were still eager to hear what he had to say, there were other boats surrounding, you know, the shore of the sea. And so other people got into the boats too, and the sailing started, and they followed the boat that Jesus was on. And so the story goes, they start sailing in the sea. It was all pleasant. It was calm. The evening was calm. And so here we see the boat where Jesus is and the disciples sailing. But the other boats surrounding them, sailing with them. But suddenly something happened that they never expected. Dense darkness covered the sea, and the winds started blowing, and the waves started rising. Look, let's read again here. The scripture says, and when he was entered into a ship, that's verse 23, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea. So the sea which was calm now, the sailing is going on. But now the sea has started to become angry. The Bible says, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. See, I like this expression here, in so much, because it means to an extent, it leaves no doubt. It says, in so much that the ship was covered with the waves. There are several Bible verses that use this word, in so much. Like the book of Mark chapter 12. If you can turn to Mark chapter 2, this is the healing of a man with palsy. We will read Mark chapter 2 and verse 2 and 12. Well, if you have it, please say amen. I hope you say amen at home. So the book of Mark chapter 2 and verse 2. This is Jesus healing the man with palsy. It says, and straightway many were gathered together in so much that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. It speaks when the crowd filled the room where Jesus was. He says they filled the room in so much. It leaves no doubt that the room was filled to such an extent that there was no room to receive anybody else. And so the story goes on, Jesus healing the man with palsy. And verse 12 says, and immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all. In so much that they were all amazed. Leaves no doubt that this man was healed. In so much, to such an extent. There's also another example in the book of Matthew chapter 12 and verse 22. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 22. The Bible says, well, I'll wait for you to open Matthew chapter 12 and verse 22. It says, then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him in so much that the blind and dumb both spake. And so, see, leaves no doubt to such an extent that this person who was blind and dumb was healed in so much that he both saw and spake. And so the expression here when the Bible says, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, in so much that the sea was covered with the waves. Think about it. Think, take, you know, create a picture in your mind and see that. You're in that boat. It's now starting to get covered with water. In so much that the sheep was covered with the waves. And so what happened? The disciples were very, you know, they were very skilled in the waters. They had spent most of their lives in the waters. And so many a times they had safely sailed through the waters and many a storms, and they made it safely. But this one was different. Their skill availed nothing. And so the disciples absorbed in their own efforts to save themselves. They forgot that Jesus was in the boat. They forgot under whose command was for them to cross to the other side. And so they remembered. They started panicking. They started in despair. They called on Jesus, Master, Master. But Jesus was sleeping. And he couldn't hear their voices because the sea was too loud. It was angry. They gave up. They started asking themselves, no, he healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cast out demons. Is he not able to save us when we are going through this? And so doubt started creeping in. And they called upon Jesus, Master, Master. And suddenly a lightning struck. And it lighted up Jesus, and they saw Jesus' face, and Jesus was awakened by their cries. And when they looked at Jesus, they saw a piece of heaven in his face. Calmness. You know, when you look at somebody and you see they're not troubled, it's going to be all right. That's what he presented to them. And they said, Master, carest not thou that we perish? And so Jesus stood in the middle of them, raised his right hand and said, Peace be still. And suddenly the billows sank. The wind was calm. The stars started shining again. And then verse 26 says, And he said unto them, Why are ye fearful? O ye of little faith. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Notice the words that are used here in the scripture. This is Matthew chapter 8 and verse 26. It says, Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Not just calm, but great calm. And because the other boats, because of the severity of the waves, kind of drove the boats together, kind of drove them to close proximity. And so everybody who was sailing in the other boats, they witnessed what Jesus did. And so they marveled one to another. What manner of man is this that even the sea and the winds obey as well? You know, we go through life's journey, and the moment that you were born and you were brought up in this world, sailing started. When you and me were brought to this world, our journey started. And in this journey, there will be waves. The winds will blow, and it has already blown so many times. Dense darkness will crowd over vision. And just like the disciples, sometimes we will be tempted and be absorbed in our very own efforts to save ourselves, that we forget that Jesus is in the boat. Just like the disciples tried, they were absorbed to save themselves from this tempest, from these fierce ways that they never experienced before. Their skills availed nothing. Sometimes we are absorbed in our very own efforts to fix ourselves, fix our friends, fix our lives, fix everything that we think that we can fix. We get too absorbed in fixing that we forget that we have somebody who has promised to be there with us, somebody who has promised to fix every single thing that we go through. It's interesting what Jesus said. Turn with me to the book of John chapter 5 and verse 30. The book of John chapter 5, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 5, verse 30. If you have it, please say amen. Thank you very much. This is Jesus speaking. He says, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Jesus says, I can of my own self do nothing. So when Jesus rose and saw the waves and how, you know, the boat was about to capsize and all that was happening, he couldn't do anything of his own. His faith rested upon his Father. His faith rested upon God. And it's God who calmed the storm. But Jesus believed in God so much that he knew he will calm the storm for him. How deeply do you trust God? And I'm sure you've gone through experiences in life where, you know, you've heard about the promises that God has, you know, shared with us or spoken to us. Because I love the Bible because it provides us with so many promises. It gives us directions. This is a wonderful book. And if you can be reading a chapter every day, it nourishes your soul. In this Bible, there are so many promises that God has given unto you and to me. Probably a promise for every day, every morning. I'll show you one. I'll show you one promise that's very true. Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 4. The book of Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 4. The Bible says, and even to your old age, I am he, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. Here, I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you. Now answer this question. Is God a liar? Does God lie? Does he speak lies? See, the Bible in the book of Numbers, chapter 23, verse 19 says, God is not a man that he should lie. So when God says, even unto your old age, I am he, and even to hoar hairs, to gray hairs, will I carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. It's a promise in his word, and he wants you to rest upon the promise. As Jesus say, he couldn't do anything of himself, but he rested upon the faith in his Father, that his Father could do anything for him because he trusted in him. If God can impact us with his Holy Spirit and put a faith in our hearts, that we will learn every day to trust in his word, in the word of God, because his word It's real. It's true. It's so real. Actually, go with me to the book of Hebrews in chapter 10, verse 23. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. The Bible says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering." And then it says, "For he is faithful, the promised." For he is faithful, the promised. One more. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 5. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 5. The Bible says, "And he sat upon the throne, said, Behold, I will make things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." See, God has provided us with chances and opportunities to believe that he is faithful and just to be there for us. And all we got to do is to believe in the promise of his word. When he says, "I will take care of you," he means it. No. When he says that, the word falls unto you, unto your ears, unto your heart. It's how you take it. Do you believe in that word that God would take care of you? Do you have faith in God that even though you're going through waves in life right now, that God will make you right in his time? You know Abraham, right? It's an incredible story in the Bible that it's very familiar to most of us. And let's read a little bit about Abraham. Just a bit about Abraham. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Romans and chapter 4 and verse 17. Remember what we read in the previous text, that he is faithful and just. His word is faithful and just. And he is faithful who promised. Let's read Romans 4:17, the Bible says, "As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him who he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those which be not as though they were." Listen to this. "Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be." Again, verse 18, "Who against hope?" Who against all odds, speaking of Abraham, who against all odds believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, even when he did not have a child, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Continue reading, 19. "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead." He considered not his own body now dead. "When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb." Sarah's, the Bible says, Sarah's womb was dead. She couldn't. It was inconceivable that she could, her womb will carry or house a child. But Abraham still believed in the promise. Verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Verse 23, "Now it was written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. But for us also to him, it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for offenses and was raised again for justification." Abraham believed against all odds that he will be a father of many nations, even when Sarah's womb was dead and Abraham was 100 years. I don't know, impossible for them to create a baby. Impossible. But he still believed that he was to be the father of many nations. And to him, the Bible says that was counted for righteousness on his part. What is it that you're going through that you think God cannot fix? Sarah's womb was dead. The Bible says that in Romans 4:19. Dead. Couldn't carry a child. But how do people refer to God? How did they refer to God? The God of Abraham, Isaac, who was born out of this dead womb. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I tell you what, Proverbs 18:24 says, a man who has many friends must show himself friendly. And then he says, but there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Now, who is this friend who sticks closer than a brother? This friend speaks in the book of John 15 and verse 13. There's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. John 15 and verse 13. The Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. It says there's a friend who sticketh closer than a brother. Now look at this friend. He says, greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Jesus calls you friend. Do you call him friend? Do you know he is your friend? And what do friends do for each other? We have a friend here who has played his part, gave his life for you. And all you got to do is believe and have faith. Even if situations that you're in now are hopeless, even if the situations are like Sarah's womb, dead. We have a friend who can turn that around and make your life anew. And it says in verse 14, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Now, listen to one command that God said. He says, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. It's a familiar text, Joshua 1 verse 9. Joshua 1 and verse 9. I'm sure you heard it many a times. The Bible says, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whatsoever thou goest. See, Jesus says, ye are my friends if you obey what I command you, right? Now, or believe what I command you. Now, here we have a passage that says, have not I commanded thee, what? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Do you believe that? Life is tough sometimes, Elder, and we go through challenges. But do we believe that when God says he will be there for us, he actually means it? What manner of man is this who gave his life for his friends? And this man says, I cannot do anything. I trust in the Father. So whatever Jesus was able to do, if you have faith in God, you can be able to do that in the middle of anything that you are going through. If only you have faith and trust in God, you will do it. The Bible says, I will keep him in perfect peace. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. If your mind is in God, he has promised to keep you in perfect peace. Do you believe that? Or are you absorbed, like the disciples were absorbed, in their own efforts to save themselves? Are you absorbed, trying to figure out how you're going to make tomorrow, how you will face the day today, how you will sleep tonight, what you will eat. Same friend says he takes care, he dresses the lilies, takes care of the birds of the air. How about you, who was made in the image of God? Do you believe that he will take care of you? See, there's a song that says, what a friend we have in Jesus. What does it say? What a friend we have in Jesus. All the grace and sins to bear. Thank you very much. And then it says, what peace we always forfeit. What peace do we always live out there? All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. He says, take my yoke. He said, I'll carry your burdens. Just bring them to me. I'll carry them. Take my yoke. My yoke is light. Bring your burdens to God and have better days. It's not easy, but start to the step. Start trusting in the Lord. He has opened the door way wide for you to come in. You know, there's a song that we used to sing a long time ago. It's in the hymnal. It's the gate stands open ajar. I hope I got that right. But we used to sing, Mlango kwa wema, mlango wazi huo, Yesu ame ufungua, na hakuna kufunga, mlango wazi ajabu uli achwa wazi kwangu. For me was left ajar for me. The gate was left ajar for you and for me, because we have a Savior who cares for us. He says, I stand at the door and knocking. If you allow him to come in, he will carry all your burdens. Do not be caught up in your own efforts to. And we attempted to do that, but he promises to carry your burdens every day. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Amen. We'll say a closing prayer. And thank you once again for joining us. We pray that the good Lord will guide you and that he will continue taking care of you and that you will believe in him. Believe that he will come all of the ways in your life and that he will give you peace. Peace like a river. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for speaking to us this morning. That you give us peace like a river. That you be with us, Father. That you promise to be with us even in our old age. That you will guide us and protect us, Father. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your love, Father. We pray that we'll not be tempted to be absorbed in our own efforts to save ourselves. But we will remember every day that we have Jesus in the boat with us. And that he will guide us, take care of us, protect us, even though everything in our lives appears to be dead, like Sarah's womb. Help us believe that you will rise everything that seems dead. Help us to believe in your promise that you will take care of us every day because you have promised. And all it takes is to believe. Thank you, Father, for your blessings. Please be with us now and always, and bless the rest of the Sabbath day for us. Remember your people, Father. Take care of us. Protect us from everything that's happening. Keep us safe, Father. We pray for families that have been affected, Father. Remember them in a special way, Father. Give them peace. Be there for them. Everyone who is sick right now, Father, visit them with your healing hand, Father, and take care of them, Father, we pray. Please guide us and bless us and protect us and forgive us where we have gone wrong and cover us with your grace. It's in Jesus' name, through the Holy Spirit, Father, we pray and give thanks. Amen and amen. God bless and happy Sabbath.